Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction.
Thank you for joining us.
This is Andrew.
This is Jay.
And we've got Jay back in the house with us after a week last week where he was MIA.
Shout out to the king of the pivots, Andrew.
Yes, thank you very much.
Saving the episode for the week.
I did. I saved everybody's entertainment, however many people listened to it. It was actually more than I expected.
Yeah, with one of the most insane recording techniques I've ever heard.
Yes,
But we made it work.
Yes, I the recording, anybody that listened to the episode, and if your thought was, man, this sounds like I can't really hear Zach, I'm sorry, I did my best, but you're lucky you had anything at all. I almost didn't get anything out. I gave up about one of those things where it was like, there's that meme of the man, he's digging for diamonds thing, and mm-hmm. and it's he like gives up right with like the sliver of thing left, and there's the diamonds on the other side. That was me. I was like, I gave up, and then I was like, you know what?
Take one more swing.
I'm gonna take one more swing, and I broke down the fucking walls, dude.
Sweet.
I broke down the fucking walls. It was pretty sweet.
Where's the applause button?
I don't remember. I think it's nope. Nope. Okay, that is, we do not have an applause button. This one is laughter. C is the comedy of laughter, and then, but it kind of goes in tandem with the D, the drum line. That B button, which sucks. I don't like it. We need to remove that one.
We'll applaud for you in spirit. Does that work?
Thank you. Yeah.
All right.
That works out great.
Cool.
So, you're welcome for that, everybody. As far as it goes, the week has been interesting for me. I will get into it and clean but still a mess, probably. But yeah, I've accomplished some big things this week.
Mm-hmm.
And over the past 10 years, really. And I'll get into that in a little bit. But we'll go ahead and jump right into our listener question here. And the topic of the day today is going to be coping mechanisms. And this guy here, John, out of Texas. What's up, John? He says, I've been sober for about 3 months, and lately I've been struggling with boredom, crushing my numbing boredom. I used to drink just to fill the time, and now I feel stuck staring at the walls. I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
At least in the past, like with the beginning of... The beginning of sobriety was stuck staring at walls.
I still get stuck like that.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah. What coping mechanisms helped you deal with that weird emptiness at the beginning? What actually worked and what was just bullshit?
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
Yeah.
Well, I think that coping mechanisms are a strange one, and I think that it matters for what you need it for.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are coping mechanisms for, my favorite one for, and this is, you know, like breathing exercises at some level, but and this is just a weird one to start with. I don't know why my mind went right here, but I like the breathing exercises. I really do. Like a good, like, anxiety, I have a shitload of anxiety, and I gotta fucking get rid of that. I like a good breathing exercise. I do the,
Four you ever Wim breathing. Hof before?
Wim Hof is difficult to do, but it's fun.
I love
a good
Hof,
feeling.
Dude.
Like that feels good.
It's a really good one.
Yeah.
What else do you do?
One. The four square breathing. It's just good to easy regulate it.
And, have you ever done Breath of Fire?
No, I have not.
It's a really weird one. It's like a kind of similar to like Wim Hof in that I don't know the exact term. I think it's like forced oxygenation, like the like where you're trying to pump air into your body as much as you can, so you get like that kind of buzz throughout the body.
Sure.
But then you do all your exhales through your nose, and you not oscillate, but yeah, I guess oscillate between the nostrils. Okay. So you use your hands to kind of modify the breathing as you're doing it.
See, unfortunately, I can't do that because only one of my nostrils works to my past drug use.
But it's one of the ones, I believe Wim Hof uses something similar. Like the Wim Hof technique is one of the techniques he uses. Like the
Hold on one sec, I need to do it this. That was for that last.
Okay, cool.
It is true, only one of my nostrils works, but I thought
is
that was
deviated?
Funny.
Is that how that works?
And I have a hole in it.
Tight.
I don't know what the difference is between the two, but I have a fucking complete
you.
Hole
the
in it.
The nostril's supposed to be a hole. You're good.
I mean, like in the septum.
Oh, that's not good.
No. No,
it's no, that's
really
bad.
Not. It's really not. And I still do things up my nose. Like I do snuffing tobacco every day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Like, how's that feel? Do you like just taste? Great, dude. Do you taste
it's like a
it
cup
come
of coffee
through the hole or something?
Yeah, kind of.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's snuff's fine. I like it. I like it a lot. It's like a nice little cup of coffee. It's like a nice little, like, when I fucking, when I get to a stuck point and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going insane. I'll go do a little bump of snuff. And then I'm just, like, back to, like, okay, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. And I just go back to it.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Back to coping mechanisms.
Yeah, sorry. Snuff is also another coping mechanism.
But okay, so real quick, so knocking down
pick up smoking as a coping.
Have you ever tried just doing lines of B vitamins like they do in the movies?
Yeah.
Okay, so real quick, knocking down the breathing mechanisms thing.
Yeah.
There's a couple that are just really good for like the kind of like mastering the physical body. I think breathing different breathing mechanism styles, techniques, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I will also say that when it comes to this, we should kind of divvy up the difference between coping mechanisms, and I would kind of advise this for the times when you're feeling like drinking or you're longing for, you know, some substance to fixate on. You know, that's a great time to incorporate this stuff. Journaling is also awesome. I love journaling. Meditation's good. Sketching out thoughts is fantastic. But then there's also there's the coping mechanisms. And then there's also just pastimes and just finding hobbies. And that's why, like, the end of the question, what worked and what was just bullshit, who knows, man? It's up to you. Everybody is going to find different hobbies and pastimes that they're able to do consistently for long periods of time. For me, I've always struggled with that. I'll find something that works really great for a couple weeks, and then I kind of got to jump ship and change into something else, you know? So it depends on the individual, but you need to have your base coping mechanisms to make sure that you're staying on the sober path and that it's something that's productive for you. And these, like, meditation breathing techniques can be really good for the mindfulness and being like, all right, I want to do something that's worth my time. Going for a walk, go to the park, go exercise, hit the fucking gym, do whatever.
Yeah, and I think
and
one,
then have hobbies too, you know?
One thing that – I don't know if this could be even thought of as a coping mechanism, but I guess – I think it's a way to cope. I don't know if it's specific mechanism of because I think that would be something you do repetitively, and I suppose you could do this repetitively. Might not be the best idea, but I got a dog. That was absolutely a way to cope with.
Yeah.
That was absolutely a way to cope with what was going on in my life at the time, which was I got her for, you know, she's technically a service animal. She's trained to do the bare minimum amount of service animal tasks, but she's a psychiatric service dog, which is like the one step above ESA.
Mm-hmm.
It's where she can fly on planes and cool. I don't ever have to pay pet rent.
Yeah.
Same. But I have her as a psychiatric service dog because of my post-traumatic stress stuff from the stabbing.
You have a psychiatric service dog and you're still this out of your mind?
They don't help like that.
Fair play.
You can't talk to them. They don't talk back, at least. They're not giving me advice on, like,
You definitely talk to him.
You can talk to him all you want. They talk to Amy all day, but like she doesn't not talking back. Not yet. They're supposed to help you talk to them so that they can talk back.
There's probably a certain level of needing a psychiatric service dog where they do talk back to you. Like, you're at a certain level where you are having full-on conversations.
The doctor looks both ways. They're like, all right, we're going to let you in on a little secret. Dogs can actually talk.
Nice.
And these are people just don't know how to communicate with them.
I just meant somebody schizophrenic.
That's furries.
That is furries. Hit a button. That's the one we're looking for. Oh, God. Yeah, if you need a psychiatric service animal, swing by That's Cop in Inglewood, Colorado. We got a bunch of little psychiatric basket cases that are dressed up as your favorite pet.
And they will come hang out with you, dude.
It made me so mad that was the best night that you guys had.
The best night we ever had. Shout out to the Furries. Let me know if you need me to rock a tail for the next one, guys. I got you.
Ah, fucking. That'll be what is on your poster for forever. I will make the poster of the Malfunction Junction podcast. I'll make every single poster you have hanging fucking
for. To our listeners who I may not explain this before, I bartend at this Cabo bar.
Right.
And we did a furry event. It was our all-time sales record, and I pulled a full Donald Trump. They came in. I said, absolutely not. These people are bad people. I don't want them in the bar. I was not looking forward to having that many furries crammed in there upstairs. Yeah, yeah. And then at the end of the night, we hit our all-time sales record, and I immediately was like, they're the greatest people. Bring them back anytime they want. They can come around. I'll wear a tail. It's a great time.
It's a great time.
I got a lot of friends in the community. They're good people. They just get in those suits and they turn real weird.
I love them. And honestly, I don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want to do.
I know a lot of people that aren't furries that secretly are into the weirdest shit you've ever heard. So, you know, it's fine. They're never mean to me.
I'm not gonna.
They take care of everybody.
I'm not gonna hate on anybody for their sexual activities. I don't. And honestly, I know that this isn't all furries. I've heard this from a furry at the Cabo Bar. That it's not all fun and games, as they say. It's not all them romping around fucking each other in their outfits.
So that's what they say.
Right. But is
I've never met one that isn't.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, every single furry goes, well, it's not all sexual. But like, I've heard the stories at the furry conventions. Brother.
It's all sexual.
It's a giant 4-day orgy.
Huh.
And like, they all go, oh, no, dude, like, it's not. It's more about the being able to, like, you know, cover up your identity and experiment.
See, that is exactly what I was about to get at is that is exactly the problem that I have with it, is the covering up your identity.
But that's what they like, because they get to experiment.
And I don't like that.
But I understand that. I get that a little bit. Because it's like, you know, you think about it. I presume a lot of people that are this deviant are like either.
Well, and I want to also clarify something. I don't have a problem with the like experimenting with an identity. Right. I don't have a problem with that. But I had a problem with this part of COVID with the fucking masks.
Yeah.
Like covering up your identity.
Show me your face.
Like, there's a part of me, like, I have not the best hearing. I listen to my music on fucking full blast. Apparently, that doesn't do too good for your hearing. My iPhone keeps telling me I need to turn my volume down.
Yeah, fuck iPhone. iPhone's being a pussy about that.
iPhone's being a pussy about that lately, dude. Just let me listen to my volume on full blast, man. I don't have the best hearing. I don't know. I do great off with two things, though. I read lips, and With the combination of what hearing I have and then also reading lips, I can hear. And, like, I don't always need to do it, but sometimes, like, when I can't hear, I just immediately focus on reading lips. And that was completely taken away from me during COVID.
Yeah.
And it was like, and I can't even imagine what, like, for God's sake, my fucking kid that was 5 years old during that time.
Brutal.
Yeah. He's learning how to speak English.
Yeah, you're not fucking.
I don't know what the kid's gonna sound like.
And you're like just in the house all day. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Is you don't.
I don't know if I've ever talked about.
I don't
that
think
on
the
this,
point of furries is talking.
Game over it up.
You know what I mean?
Huh? That's all we're gonna mention about it. What? I said I don't know if I've ever mentioned that. But I talked about this on this podcast, but.
About what?
The kid.
Yeah, you've mentioned it.
Have I?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mentioned it a couple times. You definitely did on the trauma battle.
Oh. Okay.
Moving forward, back to the furries. Which, speaking of, you know, full circle, we don't want to get too far off topic here. Speaking of coping mechanisms and fixing your boredom, put on a $4,000 fursuit, romp around, go meet some friends, put a fucking tail up your ass. That will, so that you definitely will not spend all your time looking at the wall if you're doing that.
You won't spend all your time looking at the wall if you're doing that, but you may end up addicted to becoming a furry.
Yeah, you'll be a little.
You may end up a dog.
You may be a little beast.
Instead of getting a dog, you might become one.
Exactly. And that transition process is one that we'll help you with. We will point you to the right resources.
Not monetarily.
No. No, we can't financially support that.
No.
But emotionally and through, you know, the morale, we absolutely got you.
Jay's got you.
Andrew does.
No, I don't.
We'll make sure it's you. Okay. Anyhow, back to coping mechanisms.
I'm not supporting anybody through not like look like I will go look. Oh, that's nice. Good for you, dude. I'm glad you're living your true self. But I'm not going to like put my arm around your shoulder and go, "I get it." I'm not going to pet you while you're like crying. It's so hard to be a dog.
Okay,
I don't
let
care.
Me tell you something. My Instagram,
that was your choice.
My Instagram is TheJacobMason, okay? DM me if you are transitioning into being a furry. I will give you Andrew's address. You can show to his house, dude.
See, I have an actual dog.
He will let you sleep in the dog crate.
I have an actual dog that will look at your dog ass and be like, that's not a dog.
It's a female
dog.
It's
the same way.
It's a female dog. Do with that information what you will, dude.
Jay, you what? The first time you came in, let's tell a little story real quick about the first time Jay walked into my house. He goes, oh, I go, hey, by the way, I got a big dog. She's going to run at you, and she's going to bark at you. It's really intimidating, just so you know. Oh, don't worry about it, man. I got a dog. It'll be fine. We walk in there. Holy shit. It, like, immediately. Like, she's a fucking unit.
She full sprinted.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way she stops in time. She'll, like, try and stop and then slide, and I'm going to get my fucking legs taken out. She was pretty good, though.
Yeah,
she pulled up at the right time, dude.
She's the best.
Unlike a kamikaze pilot, dude. She knew exactly when to pull up.
Amy dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good girl.
But yeah, anyway, these are all jokes. And if you are transitioning to becoming a dog, that does sound pretty difficult. However, I am not your therapist. That is my final conclusion.
All right, Andrew's taking his hard stance on this, which we're really glad to have. We hope this really helps you in your journey. Back to the
coping mechanisms episode, yeah.
Yeah, back to the topic here. Okay, so in terms of, you know, these other coping mechanisms and behavioral habits, the main one that we haven't really talked about yet that is arguably the absolute hardest, and I believe, I don't know if Andrew, you're still going with this one, but in terms of, like, things we wish you knew during active recovery,
right.
Finding the right groups of people is the most crucial aspect to getting your life on track.
Yeah.
And it's a very difficult process, and it can also be, you know, dangerous in a lot of ways, because if you're coming out of, like, a place of, you know, really bad drug abuse, chances that you have good boundaries and, you know, a lot of self-respect and you know how to, you know, set your limits with people, the chances that you're doing that to a high degree is very low. And so if you think you find the right person, they end up being unhealthy, they lean on you, and then start pushing you back down the wrong path. It can be, you know, kind of dangerous. But
100%.
If you can take things slowly.
I've had that a few times in my life.
Yeah, same. And if you can take things slowly and find the right groups of people, I mean, it's why all these different recovery and rehab centers focus so much on, like, having someone who's already been through the process.
Right.
You know what I mean? Having a sponsor and having, like, these group discussions and not just one-on-one therapy. So when it comes to filling your time, just having friends, and this is also kind of the thing about having a dog, like having something that you can look out for as well
that's,
as look after you a little bit is incredibly important.
Yeah, that's where
will fill so
much
of your time.
it was so important for that with Amy, where it was like, and I got her as a puppy, which I don't necessarily recommend that.
Fuck.
I mean, I the thing is that like I brutal. When I do get another dog, which I'm going to before Amy passes, unfortunately, they don't live as long as we do. When I
how old is she now? Like 7, 8?
She's 4. She's only 4. Dude.
Oh yeah,
she's really young.
Oh, she's
but young. I've only had her since 2021.
Oh,
yeah. But when I'm gonna get another dog, probably around, well, really, whenever I get some more space.
Mm-hmm. Same. I need a yard.
But
first.
I'm gonna get another dog. I will get a puppy, because at this point, like I had her around for a short period of time, an older female dog, and the older female dog was like correcting her, and it was really good for her like development. She like that week with that female dog potty trained her, mm-hmm. and so I was like, okay, like I see it. And so when I do get another dog, I will get a puppy. But I don't necessarily recommend getting a puppy for someone who's a first-time dog.
Well, and if you don't have the time
If you don't have the time for it, I had the time for it, thankfully, for COVID, because I was out of work still. Mm-hmm. I was going to school, and it was just like, everything was weird.
Yeah, I mean,
my
sister did that. She got a little puppy, and like, they're only supposed to spend an hour in the cage for every month old they are. And, you know, she's like, oh, well, I got to go to work. Everybody else has got to go to work. So what? So the fucking 3-month-old dog's going to the crate for 4 hours until somebody gets home? No, you can't do that. Fucking
that's not okay.
Dogs have an accident. Yeah.
It's not okay.
No,
that sucks, dude. That sucks. Because, like, and, like, the thing is, like, I, there have been times where I've been not the best dog owner, but it's been, you know, it's taught me a lot about myself. And, like, mm-hmm. it's also, like, I think it was an important thing for me to do because I realized, and I don't know if I've said this before on the podcast, I've said this much times in different places, but it taught me that I was not ready when it taught me that the giving up, I can't say his name. It taught me that giving up my son, was the right decision because I was not prepared to be
right,
a father.
How much it was.
For I was, yeah. Dude, I was just, I like that. I blew up so much on that puppy
mm-hmm.
and like unfairly, uncalled for, completely just because I was a fucking basket case.
Same.
And like, and like, and it would have that would have been that little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, 100%. And like, and 100% would have.
And to,
like,
to a worse degree.
To a worse degree.
Getting up every 2 hours.
To a worse degree. To a more detrimental effect.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been worse. So I like the dog. Likes and because of the dog, I think that I have a lot more patience now, mm-hmm. and I think that if I was talking to my girlfriend today about like I told her like, look, like if we were to for whatever reason get pregnant, like that's I'm like well equipped at this point in my life to be like to be a father,
mm-hmm. and a lot of those skills came from
a lot of those skills came from the dog. And that took like a lot of like coping mechanisms,
mm-hmm.
and they were not always healthy. But
a big part of it is just having something to love.
Yeah, and I think that's a coping mechanism in its own part, right? Is mm-hmm. finding something to love, and even if that something is like, I mean, I love fucking baseball, dude. I love baseball. Mm-hmm. I can fucking sit in front of a screen. I can sit there at a baseball game all day. And just watch the ball not go over the fence if you're the Rockies.
Just watch the Rockies
get beat down. It was 21-0 the other day, dude.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I'm not a Rockies. I still will. I will repeat that I am not a Rockies fan. Go Giants, baby.
Let's go Rockies.
The Rockies are terrible, and it's more just I feel bad for them.
No, go Phillies, dude. I don't know where the Phillies are at these days, but... Shout out to
I don't remember where they are right now.
I don't know, but they're the best team in baseball. But if they're not performing the best, it's because they don't feel like it. Shout out to City of Brotherly Love. Never beat a home game other than a fucking Eagles game, dude.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I agree. If it's like those pastimes, something you truly, truly enjoy and love, and it's good to have things that are reflective, which is why I like journaling, meditation, having an animal. Having good friends. It's, I think, the most important fundamental aspect of it. is that it shows you how you're loving something, and you get to see that, and it helps you build up your self-love. And then you also have these other things that you truly love and enjoy to do, like your pastimes, whether it's baseball or sports or fucking, you know what I mean, going and playing board games with friends. But I love pool. I love playing fucking pool.
Right, good point.
When I was in a really low point, dude, and, you know, if you're an ex-alcoholic, maybe this isn't the play for you.
Yeah.
But for me, going to a pool hall and just hanging out there and shooting pool for a few hours.
That's one of those things where I still have a tough time doing that, even damn near 2 years in.
And whatever it is, like, if you have those types of spaces, though, that aren't alcoholic-based, obviously we push for Kava bars because we've seen their positive impact with people's recovery journey. But, like, for those and for me with pool halls, you really trying to force yourself to expand on your comfort zone while in those things. Firstly, tell you what, one hell of a cure for fucking boredom, because goddamn will it make you open up. You know what I mean? That you can't be bored while you're pushing yourself to, like, work into a new social group. It is a difficult thing. Yeah. It takes a lot of concentration. And, you know, being able to set your fears to the side and insecurities to the side a little bit in order to kind of work into new groups. But, like, I would just go to pool halls, man, and just fucking walk up to people who are playing alone and say, hey, man, can I get a game with you? And that was so hard for me at that time. I was so scared of those conversations.
It's not easy to do it especially when you're young. And mm-hmm. it's like, and also, like, even if you're newly sober and you're older, like, they'll tell you a lot in rehab, like, you're young at that point.
Because you're trying to rework all these processes you've built up over decades.
Yeah, because it's like you're having to rewire that brain that has told you this whole time of, like, that is this one way and there's this one way of existence, and that you found through, you know, not being that way. Not drinking, not drugging, whatever the case may be, not, you know.
You know, one thing, too, that I think is really powerful about pool for me was it was having a skill, like something I could tangibly get better at.
Yeah, that's another coping mechanism, is developing a skill. Yeah. Because that goes into the kind of hobbies and my kind of thing is a pastime. I can get better at watching baseball.
No, but that's probably how I divvied up. I would say you have something that you love, have something that you love that's reflective.
Right.
So, like, you have your friends or your dog, you have your journaling or your meditation, then you have something you love to do, watching baseball, hanging out, you know, whatever it may be, something you enjoy, your favorite fucking TV shows, you know.
Yeah, fine. And those ones, I'm not going to knock it as long as
6 hours a day on it.
That's where my thing is that people have
and then have something you can improve.
And I would say the same exact thing about video games, that it can be a nice coping mechanism of, like, oh man, my fucking, I just need to unwind and watch a TV show, play a video game, whatever it is. Or I'm like distracted. I want to fucking play a video game that'll just, like, I can't knock it. I play MLB The Show constantly. And it's literally the most repetitive fucking video game ever made. And I don't give a fuck. I like those games because it's just, I don't play it for the reason of, like, this intense storyline. Yeah, I mean, those games are great. I love Red Dead Redemption. I love GTA. I love fucking Assassin's Creed. But I cannot at this age of my life play those games because they take up too much of my time, and I don't have a dog. When No Man's Sky came out, well, not when it came out, when I first got it, which because I didn't have it when an Xbox when it first came out.
I don't know what the fuck that is.
It's a space exploration video game. It's a one-to-one model of the universe. It's like it's retarded, and it's like it's.
You're fucking nerd.
I put so many hours into that game. I don't even know.
Little astronaut.
I was not only a little astronaut. I was a little astronaut mentally up here too. I was taking all the drugs I could find and playing this fucking game. So I was literally just in space. In my mind too, like I remember one time I took acid and mushrooms and sat in front of the TV in my room in the dark, and like anyone that's ever played that game know there's a bunch of lights, like the lights in the game are intense because it's like you're in space, so there's a bunch of crazy different colors and lights and all that shit. So I'm just sitting in the dark. I was fully in that fucking little cockpit that is the little spaceship. I was fully flying around in this inside of the universe. It was the best. But, you know, I, at the same time, like, I wasted so many hours that I could have been doing other things, playing video games, yeah, getting nowhere in a fake world.
And you built a skill.
What was that skill?
I don't know.
Flying a video game?
It's like gooning, dude.
Gooning? Yeah, I mean, that's definitely not a skill.
That is a skill, dude. You're not gonna enter the Jerk Mate Championships?
I'm sorry, what?
You haven't seen this online.
I don't go.
The gooning tournaments, dude.
I'll be real with you. My Instagram game has been literally posting for the Malfunction Junction.
Dude, my Instagram game is so insane. My Instagram game is like guys preparing to be like world class gooners, dude. And then like Italian brain rot.
What the fuck is that? How are you preparing? Dude. And what is a world class gooner? Hold on.
Shout out to our athletes representing the country. Oh, putting a show on for the world. We see you. Bro, we see you. We will get in the Olympics.
Take those guys.
Oh, fuck.
And put them in the fucking prison underneath the prison, dude.
Shout out our Edgemasters, dude.
Edgemasters, bro.
That's what Trump is reopening Alcatraz for.
These are all incels, right?
Huh?
These are all incels, right?
They gotta be.
They have to be incels.
You can't be for 6 hour jerk sessions and also.
What is that? Can you imagine the callus that dude has built up on his dick that's going on a 6 hour? It's trains for a 6 hour jerk session.
That's brutal.
That's disgusting.
I kill you. Your hands would be fucking raw.
I don't think it's the hands that are the problem. Your dick is easier, mate.
I got a funny story about that, but I don't know if the podcast is the place to hear it. We'll save that one. We'll save that one.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Alright, fucking moving on.
Alright, moving on. Yeah. This coping mechanisms. If you're gonna have them, don't let it be that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to move on to the next segment here.
Go fucking take your cat for a walk. Oh, great.
Anyway, we're going to move on to our next segment here.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Something I Wish I Knew in Active Addiction. And I will go ahead and start that one.
Yeah.
That is what's on the docket here. What's something I wish I knew in active addiction? Was that I don't have to be around people that I hate or who are bad for me. Mm-hmm. And now that is a little bit more difficult in the extended rehab that we hang out at, which is a kava bar.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that I hate there, which are fewer and farther in between than I found when I was drinking at a bar.
Can you pick a different word?
What?
Say dislike.
Are you feeling insensitive?
I don't like the word hate.
I don't like the word hate, man.
It propagates a bad mindset. They're people. We love them. We hope anybody
I will correct my word. Anybody that I wish would walk off of a bridge.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
And
whose friends if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you follow them? I hope they would follow them.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with that.
Bridge is only like 35 feet. Like, you'll land weird and it'll hurt, but you're not going to die. It's just going to teach you.
I hope there are spikes underneath this bridge.
All right. Well, this kind of defeated the purpose. this really undermined the positive and optimistic outlook I was looking to attain for this podcast. But, okay.
It's
so,
a comedy podcast too, Jay.
That's right. But no, go on. You are making
yeah. So I don't have to be around people that I don't want to be around, and I, especially if they're bad for me, mm-hmm. I don't know the people that are bad. I spent so much time because of the rehabs. Like, I'd meet people in the rehab, and I would live in that city I lived in the city that I was went to rehab in for a few years afterwards, and I all of my friends were my friends from rehab, and then like, then you'd stop being friends with this guy because he'd die or he would fucking, you know, stop whatever, he'd relapse. Go back out, relapse, and whatever the case is, and it's just like, and then you, that would happen to the next guy, and then the next, and then now you got like two friends, and then it's like. And you're like, these were your least two favorite friends that you had in the group, and you're, or and that wasn't the case in my case necessarily, but that was that had, did happen a couple times. Where it was just like, I got left with you guys,
yeah.
And like, and it sucks, and it's just like I don't want to go back out, and then I always end, almost always end up would, but it's,
yeah, it's hard
I,
to say really no to people like that when you're in that state,
yeah, and when somebody, they're in that state,
yeah, and they're like, dude, please come on, man,
and,
I,
and
know,
it's
just
also
like,
it goes a lot with the original question.
It, when it sucks to be alone when you're in that first state, because I did
well,
that.
And that's
a while.
The other side. You don't want.
I
to be alone
hated
either.
Being alone.
Yeah.
And so I go over around these people. I'm like, man, I don't like this. And I wish I had the confidence and like the wherewithal to know that if I spent some time alone, I'd be okay. But
right.
I didn't trust it at the time. I was like scared of myself. Like,
exactly.
I was like, oh fuck, if I spend time alone, I'm gonna fucking do some stupid shit. And
right.
Maybe myself. I gotta go be around somebody. I can't be here. And had I known that I did have the strength to do that, I think I would have avoided a lot of really negative social circles.
There's but so many girls that I'm glad that I didn't date that because of like I just genuinely did not enjoy being around them, and then like I either had the chance to date or like we're dating for a second, and like so many women that I've and like and also that goes to say that I'm extremely happy with the girl that I'm with currently because shout out DJ. Because I actually like genuinely enjoy her company,
mm-hmm.
and that's such a fucking breath of fresh air.
Yeah, nice.
And so yeah, yeah. I've been around a lot of people that are bad for me and have been taking me down a weird rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And but you don't have to be around those people
no.
if you don't want to be.
You
can take
you get
that.
Set your boundaries.
Yeah.
Cool. Mine is a quote I think I've already said on this podcast before. This is from my buddy, shout out Scott Wood in Florida. He's the man. But he gave me this quote when I was going through a really rough time. And he said, expectations breed entanglements, entanglements breed disappointment.
Good
I didn't really understand it at the time.
I think you may have said that on here, but that
yeah.
was a good one.
And it took me a little while to actually be able to apply it. But when it clicked for me that like every time that I am expecting something's going to happen, or whether it's my own behavior or someone else's. And when I was in active addiction, the thing this was most prevalent for was me getting better and, like, me changing and being like, yeah, this will happen in life, and then I'll stop doing the shit I'm doing. Like, oh, yeah, as soon as I get out of, like, this job, then I'll stop, like, you know, drinking so much and being so isolated. And I would set this expectation that was going to happen. And then my emotions would all base around this idea that that was going to occur. And then when it didn't, I'd be disappointed and it'd fuck me up. And then I'd be pushed further into like this detached and separated mindset. And so I would set more expectations with the hopes that it was going to change things. And what I could never just, you know, get a hold of was that, A, it's not always bad to have expectations. There's certain things where you need that. Like how people treat you, right?
Right.
Being
yeah.
like, look, this is what I want from a friendship. This is how I expect, you know, the standards. And then it doesn't get meet. You should feel upset about that.
Right. Absolutely.
That's totally reasonable.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, there are things that we just can't predict the outcomes for. And just doing your best and living in the moment is all that you is the only bar you need to set. And with a lot of my like recovery journey from drinking all the time and fucking. You know, being in a super low mental health state, you know, being able to break out of this like expectation loop and the hope that everything else would go well for me was just a really, really difficult concept for me to grab because I couldn't live in the moment. So had I known that a little bit earlier and really been able to process that better, I think I would have at least got myself to a point of just making an effort instead of waiting around hoping for something good to happen. But I couldn't really do that at the time. I won't lie to you. I struggled with that a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's good for that one.
Cool.
We will go on to our favorite segment of the week. This week, we'll see how this goes. This one, we're not as much of a mess this week. It doesn't appear.
Dude, decent week, huh?
It was a decent week, I think. Why don't you go ahead and start?
Okay. Well, mine. literally says decent week question mark. It was a pretty good week. There's not much I can complain about. I had a couple of really good nights at work. We made good money. That was sick. I wasn't stressed about bills this week. Sleeping better. Finally, good, like sleeping till my alarms go off. That's amazing. Awesome. I've talked about that a lot on this podcast.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, this is the most interesting one. So there's still been a lot of stuff I'm struggling with as of like mental health wise, especially just in terms of like my identity as a man, you know, not just as a person. Like I can tell you all the things I like and, you know, the things I react to. But like in terms of me pursuing what I think my mission in this world is, it's been a little lackluster. And I don't really know why. I don't know what my hesitance is and like why I'm so avoidant to actually thinking about it. But I decided I wanted to try to go back to therapy. Problem is, I've been to a lot of therapists over the years, Doug. There is one in 15 years of therapy that actually ever worked for me.
Yeah.
So you walked away from
him.
Which, I mean, I get it.
So I fucking scoured through my emails. Found him.
Oh, no shit.
Sent him an email. He said he has openings.
I bet he was, like, taken aback. Yeah. Did he say anything to you? Because I did that one time, too. I'll tell you about that.
I reached out to him, and I said, hey, man. He's like, you were my therapist in college. I was like, I really, really enjoyed talking to you. And you're the only person who I ever felt like made a positive impact and actually got through to me. I've been going through some shit I'd like to talk to. And he reached out, and he said, hey, man, it's good to hear from you again. I'm glad you're still alive. He said, yeah, I've got openings for you. Let's set up an appointment, and we'll talk. And
that's
you
know, awesome.
From there. So I'm pretty stoked about that. That's because awesome. He was one of the only dudes that called me out of my bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I had a lot of therapists that would be like, okay, well, why do you think that? And I would go, oh, I don't know if I can da-da-da-da. They go, yeah, but do you think it's that or maybe it's this? And it just felt like I could kind of walk on them.
Right, and, yeah.
I won't lie to you. I spent most of therapy
dancing around questions.
Just enjoying manipulating the therapist.
Telling stories that didn't really happen.
Yeah. And, like, saying what I know they want to hear and just watching them lead the conversation.
By the way, if you're a therapist and you're listening to this, and you're not a good therapist, I don't know. I'm not to say that I don't go to therapy. And the reason I don't go to therapy is because my therapist died.
Yeah.
Sorry about it. Anyway, rest in peace, Cam. You're the best. If you're a therapist and you're listening to this and you're not a good therapist, most of the stories you're patients are telling you were fake.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, kind of this adulterated path. And I would say shit like that to him. And you go, well, why do you think? Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of don't really like it. It's not my thing. And then he'd sit there and he'd be fucking, like, you know, picking his fingernails. He wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
And I'd look at him and then he'd fucking look up and he'd go, just talk to me when you're done lying.
That guy's God. He's like, I'm not gonna waste. I meant to say good, not God, but he's good.
And here we go. Yep. I'm not gonna waste my time. That's awesome. You want to be honest? You can talk to me, but I'm not gonna listen to you lie to me all day.
That's the best.
All right, you fucking dick. Okay, that's awesome, fine. Dude. Here's how I feel about it. And he would like get me, you know, kind of riled up. But that was when I would finally let it all, come out.
Because that's how that works.
Yeah, you know. And I've been trying with this. And dude, he gave me this one quote. I'll share this with the podcast. But it drove me a wall. He put this fucking pen in front of me. He's like, yes, here. And he said, try to pick it up. Try to pick it up. No. Try to pick it up.
You don't try.
Yeah. You do it or you don't. Yeah. And I was like, way to fucking go, Einstein. Good word. Like, what the fuck does that mean? And it took me forever for that to click that what he meant was like.
The only time you try is if you're incapable of doing it.
And you put max effort in and you couldn't.
Yeah.
And, I had a conversation. We might have talked about this first or second episode. But I had a conversation with my mom one day. And she's like, how's shit going? And I was like, you know, I'm trying. Like, I've been trying to get my laundry done and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's what he means. I didn't try to get my laundry done. I just didn't do it.
Yeah.
I literally just woke up that day and was like, fuck, I'll do it later. And then I didn't. I didn't try. There was no effort made. Like,
no.
I didn't rearrange my whole day and just ran out of time at the last moment. No, I just didn't make an effort. Yeah. So he was a really good dude for me. I really enjoyed being around him. And yeah, he's got some openings now, so I'm super excited about
Hell
that.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome.
What about you, man?
Well, I was going to say,
we got
one
some
thing,
big shit going on.
One thing I was going to say real quick about the therapist stuff is that I reached out to a therapist one time that I did the ketamine therapy with. Yep. I was my main ketamine therapist.
Was it lozenge therapy or the full?
No, I did injections.
Yeah, okay.
I reached out to her and I just emailed her and it was pretty quickly, probably 2 months after I quit drinking. And I emailed her and I was just said, I forget exactly what I said, but like, was like, hey, like, I'd just like to speak with you. Essentially, like, I have a theory on ketamine psychotherapy, and I like wrote it. I had written it down. I don't remember what exactly it was now, but it was. I had essentially just like had said that like I wanted her to know that the therapy had worked on me, and that I was like I had recently gotten to a point with it. It was soon after I had had the breakthrough experience where I had like told myself I love myself, and I told her that. I told her everything about that. We talked for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever, and just told her. And she told me, like, one of the things she told me, and this was, like, this stuck with me, which was that she told me, Andrew, if someone had said you have to pick all of your patients, from all of your patients in the past, of a patient that would reach out to you, you'd have been last on that list. Huh. Yeah. And I was like, why? And she's like, I thought you were going to die, dude. I thought that the world had given you too much. And it complimented me on getting through that. And, it was like, it was fucking crazy to hear. Mm-hmm. But speaking of that, that's kind of goes to with this next stuff on my clean, but still a mess, which is not a mess. I cannot begin to fucking explain how excited and happy and proud of myself I am of this. I am officially, as of a couple hours ago, done with college. And I am, yes, thank you.
Quick round of applause.
I finished. I graduated. I'm past all the classes. I took 17 units in my final semester. I got... decent enough grades to pass the fucking classes. Who cares?
These get degrees, baby.
Dude, I don't give a
fuck. We're through it.
And it's like, yeah, I'm done. I don't have to go. I don't have to take another college class ever again unless I want to. Mm-hmm. I don't think I ever will. We're going to be making some big moves here, going with beginning to open up an LLC for my film and film works stuff, because we're going to be trying to work some local business commercials, stuff like that. Get just stuff to doing film stuff to make money, producing podcasts more than my own, hopefully.
Yeah.
And doing types of things that just putting the skills that I've built up over the past few years, doing production side of media, doing that type of stuff for money. And that's the only,
finally getting into the career you love.
Yeah, and like doing something that I mean, for others, like, and not just like, because like it's, if you, even if the content is at some level, even content people make of like films and podcasts and, you know, commercials or whatever, it is for, you know, at some level money and me, but it's for others. It's to, the, you know, films that I've been writing, like the screenplays I've written and the films I've made and things like that, they've all been like commentary about what my thoughts are, and also at a dark situation. And like, here's a dark situation I was given. This is how I laughed my way out of it.
Something impactful, yeah.
Right, and that's what I think every filmmaker aims for, and I think that I'm aiming for that every day when I make a film. And I, or work on a film at all, and work, whether what no matter what I end up doing on anything, I think that's what I'm aiming for.
Love it.
Yeah. So we are. Looks like a little bit of it. We'll get out of here pretty shortly. We're at 48, which is that's fine.
A little light.
It's a little light. It's fine though. I think the last episode ended up being like 110. the Charmer battle. So.
Yeah, we went long on that one, huh?
Yeah, Delano killed it. I mean, honestly, like, Delano, shout out Delano.
Shout out
boys. Zach, too. Shout out them. Shout out both of them. Thank you guys for both coming on the podcast and taking an episode that was almost just me talking into a microphone for about 15, 20 minutes and making it an hour and 10-minute long podcast. So that was great. Thank you guys very much for that. You guys are welcome back on the show anytime. And although, Zach, we're going to have to get a thing for the we need to get there's a little tool that we can get for this
so
thing.
So it doesn't sound like you're calling from fucking Folsom County Prison, dude.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. That was my fault.
No, I mean, it still came out good, though. It was very clear.
No, and it wasn't that he was – it was. I don't think it was his problem. It was my
problem. Once we get our production up, dude, we'll fly your ass in, Doug.
Yeah, dude, for real.
Once our Patreons run.
Straight up. We in the next couple weeks are going to be doing I think I told Jay this earlier. I'm going to be making a full studio in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be nice. We'll have some hopefully be getting better at soundproofing things. Hopefully you can get rid of some unnecessary sound, extra sound in here. And then we're working better every week to get this better for you guys.
Start getting more clips up soon. It's going to be good, man. Yes, make sure you follow us on Instagram.
Follow us on Instagram.
Malfunction Junction Podcast.
Absolutely. Email at Malfunction.
We don't have a Patron anymore, but we'll get there.
Well, we still have the Patron. We still have it, but it's like... I don't know. I mean, we're not going to ask people for
money. No, we're not. You ain't got to pay a shit yet. Good material.
I mean, like, well, once
you're happy to pay.
Honestly, like, it's we'll make sure once you're it's paying. Like, once there's like a consistent level of listeners, I'll down to fucking do that. Cause a week from now comes, I will have all the time in the world to put out as much content as possible under this name. So it's like, I don't see why they should not be paying for some of it.
Yeah, trust me, we'll find something to make it worth everybody's while.
We need to have the listeners for that. So if you guys are listeners who are wanting to get on the Patron, the Patreon, yes. Then let us know. We'll figure out something for you guys.
Yep.
Until that, we've got the last segment here. We've got our song of the week.
Song of the week.
I will go first here. And this one's again, double shouts out here to DJ, my lovely girlfriend. This song goes out to her. This one, and it's a song that I kind of I think of it's an interesting lyric, but I've been thinking of her lately when I've been listening to it, and I know she listens, so I want to say something that I love you, babe, and I really really appreciate you being around the past, especially this last term. It's been tough, and there were times where I told my dad that if she were not there at one point in time with the whole thing, with holding with the teacher, my dad was in Italy during that time, and so was my mom. They were both in there, and I was like, I told my dad, I was like, Dad, if she were not there, you would not have been able to get a hold of me, because I would have smashed my phone and walked out into the woods, and I'd still be there. Like, I was going crazy, and she just did great. This one. She just did a great job of keeping me sane. And I love you, DJ.
Shout out to DJ, you're real battle axe.
The fucking the song is called You Look Like Trouble, But I Guess I Do Too. It's fantastic. By Lisa LeBlanc.
Yep. Country?
Yeah, it's like bluegrass. It's like folk country.
Is there any other good lyrics in it you want to fucking or is it just that title got you?
No, it's a great song. It's the way that the song like builds up over the whole series that I really like. But there's one lyric in it that I like is, "You and I both know our gypsy's heart can't settle down, so if you don't mind me asking, what do we do now?"
I like that
because it's like I mean, I know as well as anyone that I've thought my whole life that I'd never find a girl that I'd be able to like settle down with and love, mm-hmm. and like that would love me, and like thought my whole life that would be the case, and I was wrong. So that's
crazy
awesome.
How the world works.
Yeah.
All right, cool. My song is "Next to You" by Ol' 60. This is the opposite. This is this is more about like heartbreak, but it's such a good fucking song, and it touches on a lot of like good notes about kind of fucking things up and ended up in situations you didn't really expect to be in, kind of longing for the days of something else. But it's a really fantastically put together song, and it was one I found. They're doing a show at Red Rocks. I told you about
okay,
this one.
Cool.
This is one I hope you end up going with me too. They're not coming for a while, but I got an ad. I've never wanted to go to a concert before, like where I was like, all right, I'm buying tickets. I'm going to that.
Sure, yeah.
As soon as I did a deep dive on their band, I was like, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, so that's how I feel about one coming up soon.
They got all.
That's what's the best about living so close to Red Rocks.
I mean, Colorado is such a great music scene.
And it's like it's an underrated music scene because most people don't recognize that it's every single band that you've ever heard of mm-hmm. comes through Denver. They've come through Denver.
And they play it like
they play things Red Rocks. They play we think Mission, of they play,
small, yeah, like
yeah. But Bluebird's a fucking sick venue. I saw Natural Child at Bluebird. That was the best.
Hinder
show
just
to.
Came through the Gothic recently.
Okay, yeah, that's right. So did Bridge City Sinners. I don't know if you know them.
I do know them.
They're sick.
Insane,
dude.
But they're cool.
They're
as fuck.
Awesome.
Yeah. I didn't know they were playing there.
They played there a few days ago, like last week.
Yeah, it's tight.
2 weeks ago, something
like that. But like, and I think one of the things I didn't know about Denver music is that the diversity of the music scene is insane. I always thought of it as just an EDM place.
No,
coming from Tampa, I just thought it was like straight bass heads.
Bluegrass.
And I came out here and got into the alt rock scene.
Yeah,
that was one of the ones that's really big out here. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of like fucking goth and kind of screamo shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the bluegrass scene is insane. There's so uh-huh. many country bands that roll through here.
I mean, fucking my favorite is Billy Strings. He does his
Billy Strings.
He does his renewal festival in Buena Vista, which is like 2 hours from here.
That's tight. Yeah.
And that's like it's supposed to be one of the best bluegrass festivals in the country.
Buena Vista.
Yeah, I'm gonna go this year. I haven't been yet, so I've been going on a few.
How much
years,
your tickets?
Not crazy considering.
I'll go with you.
Yeah, please do. Please do. It's in like September.
Sweet.
I believe. I think.
Maybe when it's like nice and cool up in the mountains.
Yeah, it's so beautiful out there.
I'm so pissed about how hot it's getting. That's one thing I'll bitch about before we end this fucking podcast.
Yeah.
If everybody can please leave their ice cubes and leave your fridge doors open if you're anywhere near the state of Colorado. Anything that will lower the temperature by like half a degree,
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to do.
Because
being back in the 80s makes you want to fucking shoot somebody.
It was 87, 88 today, and DJ told me that. Madeline. Her name's Madeline. No one knows how to say that.
Margarine.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
margarine. Yeah. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I like that. Margarine was telling me earlier today it was going to be 87 degrees. And I said to her, what the fuck?
Yep.
Because I was not prepared for that. Yep. It should be illegal.
I think today's the last super hot day we have for a couple days. Let me see.
It's May, dude. It's going to get way
worse.
Yeah,
but listen. The next few days, highs are in the low 70s, high
60s. Cool.
So we'll be okay for a week.
I'm cool.
And then
with that.
After that, the clean but still a mess is going to get violent fast.
Violent.
It's going to go from like, yeah, dude, I got annoyed and like threw an egg at somebody's car. It's going to be like, I T-boned the family of four on the highway because it was 87 and my AC's broken. That's how I feel.
I did it to prove a point. God, fuck you, Ford.
You fucking see him again?
What?
You see him again? Did he come back through at all?
Nope. Yeah, I told you he left a note though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I told everybody that, right? He left a note the next day that was like, it was like fucking, I'm watching or whatever.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, he was. I did see him up at the. He was definitely a contractor. And he was still working in that place, but he just had to go all the way down from the very front of the building.
You should challenge him to a wrestling match.
No, he probably could kill me. Not even the. I'm sure. I'm just
showing
it straight out. That'd be so funny.
Right here, right now, motherfucker.
You fucking You fucking think you're watching me because I egged your car? Right here, right now, motherfucker.
Speaking of wrestling, did you see Kyle Snyder get arrested in a prostitution sting?
Well, that's not good.
That's not good, dude.
Like
our Olympian?
Oh, tough action. Was it? Women?
So the story. I mean, you know, details are.
Adult women, preferably?
Details are sparse. I mean, like,
strongly, preferably?
Details are sparse. I don't know how much his wife gives it for what it is, but. Yeah. It's not looking good, dude. It's not looking good. No. Shout out to our Olympian.
Shout out Bo Nickel.
Shout out Bo Nickel for taking that fucking.
God damn it, dude. We needed you to win that.
Yeah, I don't know if all of our podcast listeners know. Andrew and I are both wrestlers, diehard fucking love of wrestling.
Hell yeah.
It's not been a great week for the boys.
And by wrestling, we mean gay porn.
Yeah, not your fucking. Not your put on, whatever you call the fucking drag show that is the WWE.
No.
Not that we have anything wrong with drag show. Show for drag. You guys are fine. But when you're doing that, you know. I'm not going to explain that anymore. Fucking WWE.
And I think we should probably get out of
here. It's been a good episode.
All right, everybody.
Follow us on the fucking Instagram. Send us your emails, any questions, any comments, any new segments. Fucking hit us at malfunctiondrunkenpodcast@gmail.com.
Exactly. Have a good day.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.